वंशकौपतुर्भ्यश्च कृपसन् उभयेभ्य च कृतितनां पवित्रेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः. We've been hearing the teachings of Kapila Muni to Devahuti, his mother. And in the beginning of this chapter, Devahuti has asked Kapila Muni to kindly explain three things: bhakti, or devotional service. And we've, up to this point in the chapter, we've heard Kapila Muni's explanation of devotional service. First, devotional service when it is filtered through the modes of passion, the modes of ignorance, and the mode of goodness, the different results. There's one devotional service. Devotional service is only pure. But when our consciousness is not yet pure and we're performing devotional service, it will have different characteristics. There'll be pride, there'll be desire for prestige, to get something for oneself, there'll be attachment, or there'll be the desire for liberation, possibly. But pure devotional service, as we heard, is something completely different from anything that is selfishly motivated. Because pure devotional service, those activities for the pleasure of Krishna. That Krishna's pleasure is the consideration. And what are the characteristics, the prime characteristic of that, of when one is rendering pure devotional service, is that one spontaneously has an attraction to hear about Krishna. There are wonderful verses actually describing a devotee's spontaneous natural attraction to hear about Krishna. Rupa Goswami, he describes the holy name dancing in the courtyard of the heart. He describes how he desires millions of ears, because two ears, by hearing the holy names and by hearing the glories of Krishna, his excitement, his greed has increased to such a degree that his two ears are no longer sufficient. He desires thousands and thousands of ears, and thousands of tongues too, so that he himself can speak the glories of Krishna. So this is pure devotional service, not imitated, we can't imitate that. But yet this is purity, and this is the result of performing pure devotional service. We also heard, not yesterday but the day before, of the vyatirek result, or the definition by negation, that a pure devotee does not desire liberation. So we can just imagine the pleasure that he's experiencing in his relationship with Krishna, that he does not desire liberation, he does not desire to live on a planet with Krishna and be a close associate with Krishna. Even sharshti, so much opulence, or possessing a divine spiritual form that looks like Krishna's, no. Doesn't desire liberation, freedom from death, all the things that terrify us in this world. He doesn't desire freedom from that. No, his desire is simply for Krishna's pleasure. Again, let me please Krishna. Let me take my birth anywhere. Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes, where he says, let me take my birth anywhere, again and again. But I have one request only. Let that be in the house of a devotee. Even if I'm a dog or a bug, let that be in the house of a devotee, because if I'm in a devotee's house, I will hear Krishna's names spoken from his lips. We heard this same point when the Kumaras, when they were cursed, or rather when the Dhyanvijaya, the gatekeepers, were cursed. They said, okay, we will go to the material world from the spiritual world, but We ask you one thing. Please let us focus our minds upon Krishna. Actually, if we can just somehow or another master this one thing, then practically speaking, we've done everything. Sarva vidhi nisheda cha etya eva kinkara. Everything else we do is to assist us in this one thing, to somehow or another focus the consciousness on Krishna, to love Krishna, because actually that is the only way to do that. That is the way. When one develops love for Krishna, then naturally one's consciousness does not deviate, leave Krishna's service or Krishna's lotus feet even for one moment. That's love of Krishna. So this is very exalted consciousness. Dolabam. It is sudolabha. It is rare actually in this world. But it is not impossible at all. It depends very much. One time Prabhupada, someone said to Prabhupada that Maya is so strong. And yes, sometimes Prabhupada would preach like that. Oh, Maya is so strong. He said, the trouble with you Western boys and girls is that you're not afraid of Maya. So sometimes he said that Maya is so strong. But at this time, when the devotees said Maya is so strong, Prabhupada said, no, Maya is not strong. You are weak. And what is that weakness? The weakness is in our desire. Because Maya is not only strong, Maya is insurmountable, practically speaking. Even if we try our best to rip down the wall of Maya, the curtain of Maya, we will never see by our own power the lotus feet of Krishna. But mam eva te prapadyante mayam etantarantite, that if we give ourselves completely to Krishna, then Krishna will part that curtain, remove that Maya. So what is weak is our desire to serve Krishna with great devotion. That is what is weak. Tatra loyam api mulam ekalam. This is the price. Lolyam, very deep, deep, deep desire. So Kapila Muni explained all this to his mata. And then he said, but if you think that you can worship the deities, worship me with devotion and neglect everyone else, whom I live within their hearts, that is materialistic devotion. And you have to also be kind to all living entities. Not that I am a devotee of God and I will serve God and I don't care about anyone else. This is actually an offensive mentality. Or materialistic or childish. Because naturally, if we do truly wish to serve Krishna, we naturally respect and have affection for everything connected with Krishna. One doesn't love his parents and hate the children of the parents, the brothers and sisters. No, because an aspect of love of the parents is love of the brothers and sisters too, or at least respect. So he, Kapila Muni, said, no, we cannot do this. We cannot serve Krishna. And we heard yesterday in so many verses, he spoke about the kindness. And he actually said it very heavily, Kapila Muni. In 26 he said, as the blazing fire of death, I cause great fear to whoever makes the least discrimination between himself and other living entities because of a differential outlook. Do unto others as you would have others do unto you. Do unto others as you would like be done to you. We should treat others as we would like to be treated. not making a difference, I will be nice to myself and cruel to others. No. Or making distinction between different groups of others. So this is exalted consciousness. Exalted consciousness. And Vidyabhanaya Sampane Brahmani Gavihastini Suni Chaiva Supake Cha Pandita Samadarshana. Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains that the pandit, the learned person, sees the equality of all living entities. If his learnedness, if he's Brahman, realized, he will see that everyone is Brahman. If he's Paramatma, realized, he will see that Krishna, as the Paramatma, is in everyone's heart. So therefore, I have to be kind to them. And if he is Bhagavan, realized, he will see that the Lord himself, Bhagavan, is in everyone's heart. He will see that. He will see that Krishna, he can see actually Krishna and Srimati Radharani in everyone's heart, depending upon the realization. So Kapila Muni, after explaining this, he explains, yet, although, in 27 he says, therefore, through charitable gifts and attention, as well as through friendly behavior, and by viewing all to be alike, one should propitiate me, that means satisfy me, who abides in all creatures as their very self, as the super soul. So this is how to satisfy Krishna, to be kind to all living entities, everyone, every living entities, and not discriminate between the particular type of body they have. So now Krishna, in the next verses, is going to explain the practical application of that, in case we decide, yes, I will be kind to all living entities, and tomorrow I go to the Perth Zoo and look for the nearest tiger and offer my obeisances and give him a big Prabhu, a hug, something like that. So just to make sure that our feet are on the ground in the application of this, Krishna is going to explain some discriminations for us. How we should practically treat all living entities, although everyone is equal, we can't treat them as equal in that way. Our vision has to be practical, although the practical application of the spiritual principle has to be understood. So Kapila Muni explains. Now we'll read a few of the purports, and then we'll go quickly through the remaining verses. So he says, although everyone, that all living entities should be seen equally, because I'm in everyone's heart, 28, living entities are superior to inanimate objects. O Blessed Mother, and among them, living entities who display life symptoms are better. Animals with developed consciousness are better than them, and better still are those who have developed sense perception. So here a gradation of bodies according to the developed consciousness. Because according to the body we have, the consciousness is repressed. Because naturally we are Krishna conscious. And the body restricts that Krishna consciousness, or even the consciousness. So in an amoeba, that particular body, there is a soul. Otherwise there could be no life. But yet that body doesn't allow more or less any consciousness to come through. Paramecium or whatever. Or some bug or another bug. There's no consciousness, practically speaking. And a human being, more or less, has a full consciousness. The soul's full consciousness, more or less, is exhibited. Consciousness of himself. So, living entities are gradations. Now, Prabhupada explains in his purport. In the previous verse, it was explained that living entities should be honored by charitable gifts and friendly behavior. And in this verse, and in the following verses, the description of different grades of living entities is given, so that one can know when to behave friendly and when to give charity. For example, a tiger is a living entity, part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the Supreme Lord is living in the heart of the tiger, a super soul. But does this mean that we have to treat the tiger in a friendly manner? Certainly not. We have to treat him differently, giving him charity in the form of prasadam. But still we have to be careful. Then Prabhupada explained something very wonderful. The many saintly persons in the jungles do not treat the tigers in a friendly way, but they supply prasad foodstuffs to them. The tigers come, take the food and go away, just as a dog does. According to the Vedic system, a dog is not allowed to enter the house. Because of their uncleanliness, cats and dogs are not allowed within the apartments of a gentleman, but are so trained that they stand outside. And actually, scientifically, it's so unhealthy to have dogs and cats in the house. They have so many parasites, and guess who catches them? And they're always, you see the dogs, they have their fur, and there's some, they're like a walking house, basically, for so many living entities, bugs and things like that. And guess, the bugs only don't only stay on them when they're in the house. They go into the carpets, they go into here and there. So it's very a filthy, dangerous parasite, very filthy habit. So the dogs and cats are so trained that they stand outside, and they will stand outside too. The compassionate householder will supply prasad to the dogs and cats who eat outside and then go away. We must treat the lower animals compassionately, but this does not mean that we have to treat them in the same way we treat other human beings. Practical common sense. The feeling of equality must be there, but the treatment should be discriminating. Common sense. Or we should call it nowadays uncommon sense, because most people, we lack this somehow or another. We lack common sense. And we think, oh, it's hard for us to conceive. Well, they're equal, they're all equal. But they have to be seen equally, but treated differently. Just how discrimination should be maintained is given in the following six verses concerning the different grades of living conditions. The first division is made between dead stone-like matter and living organisms. A living organism is sometimes manifest even in stone. Experience shows that some hills and mountains grow. Do you still have those rocks? Those rocks that are alive I gave you? Yeah. Could have them back. By the way. They're very interesting. They use them for, they give some energy. And they're not at all, they're not magnetic, but they, did you try them recently? You using them regularly? Or sometimes? So even rocks, some rocks have stones. And in previous days, mountains would fly. Some, not all. So life means, experience shows that some hills and mountains grow. This is due to the presence of the soul within that stone. Above that, the next manifestation of the living condition is development of consciousness. And the next manifestation is the development of sense perception, the ability to perceive. In the Moksha Dharma section of Mahabharata, it is stated that trees have developed sense perception. They can see and smell. Is that possible, that trees see and smell? We know by experience that trees can see. Sometimes in its growth, I know that corn stalks have ears. I've seen them myself. Sometimes in its growth, a large tree can change its course of development to avoid some hindrance. We've all seen that. This means a tree can see. You can perceive there's some hindrance there. And according to Mahabharata, a tree can also smell. They can smell water. This indicates the development of sense perception. So now some of the different stages of living entities. Amongst the living entities who have developed sense perception, those who have developed the sense of taste are better than those who have developed only the sense of touch. Better than them are those who have developed the sense of smell. And better still are those who have developed the sense of hearing. So these are gradations of advancement in consciousness. Better than those living entities who can perceive sound are those who can distinguish between one form and another. Better than them are those who have developed upper and lower set of teeth. And better still are those who have many legs. Better than them are the quadrupeds. And better still are the human beings. Amongst human beings, the society which is divided according to quality and work, vana and ashrama, that is the best. And in that society, the intelligent men who are designated as brahmanas are best. Amongst the brahmanas, one who has studied the Vedas is the best. And amongst the brahmanas who have studied the Vedas, one who knows the actual purport of Veda is the best. Better than the brahmanas who know the purpose of the Vedas is he who can dissipate all doubts. And better than him is one who strictly follows the brahminical principles. Better than him is one who is liberated from all material contamination. And better than him, one who is pure is one who is a pure devotee. Pure means the absence of impurity. And a pure devotee is one whose devotion is not tinged by anything, any selfishness at all, either karma or jnana. So better than a liberated person is a pure devotee who executes devotional service without expectation of reward. So back to this concept that Kapila Muni has spoken about before. He's described pure devotional service. And now he's brought it back to the best of the best of the best are those who render service to Krishna just for the pleasure of Krishna, and that is the only reward they want. Just to please Krishna. Prabhupada, in his purport, says, Artagya Brahmana refers to one who has made a thorough analytical study of the Absolute Truth, and who knows that the Absolute Truth is realized in three different phases, namely Brahman, Paramatman, Bhagavan. And actually also, the first, after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he inspired and empowered the Sadgosai, the six Goswamis, to write books. He wanted so many books written. So the first of all the books that the six Goswamis wrote, does anyone know which one it was? Do you know? No, not you. Huh? I can't hear. No? You know. Yeah, what? Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Yes. And in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita written by Sanatana Goswami, there is a description of who is the best amongst the devotees too. So there are so many gradations, and each time it's one after another. And Narada Muni is looking who is the best devotee. So he goes to this one and he says, "You are the best devotee." He said, no, I have this impurity in my heart, but this one is the best devotee." So then Narada comes to us to him, "Oh, you are the best of devotees, I've heard." No, I still have this impurity in my heart. All the way up through Indra, Brahma, Lord Shiva even, and then to Dwarka, then all the way up to Vrindavan, and then ultimately the best of the best of the best of the best are the Gopikas, the the pure lovers of Krishna, the young girls of Braja, who love Krishna and all the residents of Vrindavan, but they love Krishna in a particular special way that brings Krishna the most pleasure. So because they have the capacity to give Krishna the most pleasure, they are considered the most, their love is the most special. So if someone, so there are different gradations like that. So a brahmana who knows the absolute truth is who knows refers to one who knows that the absolute truth is realized in three phases, namely Brahman, Paramatman, Bhagavan. If someone not only has this knowledge, but is able to clear all doubts, if questioned about the absolute truth, he is considered better. Further, there may be a learned Brahman Vaishnava who can explain clearly and eradicate all doubt, but if he doesn't follow the Vaishnava principles, then he's not situated on a higher level. One must be able to clear all doubts and simultaneously be situated in the brahminical characteristics. Such a person who knows the purpose of the Vedic injunctions, who can employ the principles laid down in the Vedic literatures, and who teaches his disciples in that way, is called an acharya. The position of an acharya is that he executes devotional service with no desire for elevation to a higher position of life. That sentence really struck me. The position of an acharya, a teacher, a guru, is that he executes devotional service. He's serving Krishna with no desire for elevation to a higher position of life. He doesn't want anything other than to serve Krishna. And that is the natural consciousness of the living entity. The highest perfectional brahmana is the Vaishnava. A Vaishnava who knows the science of the absolute truth, but is not able to preach such knowledge to others, is described as being in the lower stage. One who not only understands the principles of the science of God, but can also preach, is in the second stage. And one who not only can preach, but who also sees everything in the absolute truth and the absolute truth in everything, is in the highest class of Vaishnavas. So such a person who sees everything in the absolute truth, he sees nothing separate from Krishna, and he sees, when he looks at something in the material world, nadeki taramuti savatra hoya nija ishta devasputi, he sees Krishna, Krishna's energy. So he's living in Krishna. He doesn't see anything but Krishna. This is the highest capacity. So this is called Krishna consciousness. And actually, we've heard this verse, Yatan mahanti bhutani bhute su ches vichesvanu pravishtani apravishtani mamateshu nateshvaham. This is the sarahasya. This is the very deep secret, how to see Krishna in everything. And to such a degree that we're elevated right up to the spiritual world as we see Krishna, no matter what we look at. And that the secret is prema bhakti, great love for Krishna. If one has that, one sees Krishna everywhere. Text 33. Tasman, so he's described about the different gradations and he's come to the pure devotee. Tasman mai arpitasena sesha kriyartatma narantara mayarpitatmana pumso mai sanyasta karmana. So tasmat mai arpita asesha kriya arta atma narantara mai. Better than, I do not find a greater person than tasman mai, unto me arpita ashesha kriya, one who offers all his actions, arta, wealth, atma, life, narantara, without cessation. He's continuously making an offering of his heart, his consciousness, everything, continuously, without cessation. Not, 9 o'clock now, I have to stop. continuously, Prabhupada would say, 24 hours a day. So I cannot find a person greater than he who has no interest outside of mine, and who therefore engages and dedicates all his activities and all his life, everything, unto me without cessation. We'll read some of this purport. In this verse, the word samadarshanat means that he no longer has any separate interest. Going back to the same point again, that pure devotional service means that our interest is dovetailed, Prabhupada would use that term, is made harmonious with Krishna's interest. The devotee's interest and the Supreme Personality of Godhead's interest are one. A materialistic devotee will say, yes, this is a good principle. Krishna's interest and my interest should be one, and therefore, here's my list of things that I want, Krishna. So then we can be one of interest. But that's not exactly what is meant by this point. For example, Lord Chaitanya, in the role of a devotee, also preached the same philosophy. He preached that Krishna is the worshipful Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that the interest of his pure devotee is the same as his own. Skip one paragraph. The word akartu means without any sense of proprietorship. What does that mean, without any sense of proprietorship? Nothing belongs to me for my pleasures. Everyone wants to act as the proprietor of his actions so that he can enjoy the results. A devotee, however, has no such desire. He acts because the personality of Godhead wants him to act in a particular way. He has no personal motive. When Lord Chaitanya preached Krishna consciousness, it was not with the purpose that people would call him Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Rather, he preached that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and should be worshipped as such. A devotee who is a most confidential servant of Krishna never does anything for his personal account, but does everything for the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord. It is clearly stated here, therefore, mai sanyasta karmana. The devotee works, but he works for the Supreme. So this is love. It can't be done artificially, otherwise it's slavery. It is love. It is also stated, maya pitamana. He gives his mind unto me. Not that I'm working for someone else and my mind is thinking, oh no, how long is this going to go on? That's different. These are the qualifications. He gives his mind unto me. These are the qualifications of a devotee who, according to this verse, is accepted as the highest of all human beings. Such a perfect devotee, text 34, offers respects to every living entity because he is under the firm conviction that the Supreme Personality of Godhead has entered the body of every living entity as the super soul or controller. So the living entity is not thinking the living entity is a god and respecting him in that way. Because sometimes you see the Mayavadis, even in Vrindavan, they'll say Namo Narayan to each other, offering obeisances to each other as if they were Narayan, the Lord. But no, not that everyone is God, but everyone, regardless of their body or their situation, has God within their hearts. He is in everyone. So now Kapila Muni is coming to his conclusion on this point. My dear mother, O daughter of Manu, a devotee who applies the science of devotional service and mystic yoga, Sankhya in this way can achieve the abode of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now here is, Prabhupada explains in the purport some of the practical elements of the conclusion. Because Kapila Muni has explained the Sankhya or Astanga Yoga mixed with Jnana Yoga process of reaching this consciousness, of meditating on the Lord, and then there's bhakti. So when by meditation on the Supreme Personality of Godhead in all detail, one comes to the point of love of God, that is the point of bhakti yoga. And at that point, he must actually render service to the Lord out of transcendental love. Anyone who practices yoga and comes to the point of devotional service can attain the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his transcendental abode. Here it is clearly stated, Purusha Purusham Brajet. The Purusha, the living entity, goes to the Supreme Person. The Supreme Personality of Godhead and the living entity are qualitatively one. They both are defined as Purusha. The quality of Purusha exists both in the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the living entity. Purusha means enjoyer. And the spirit of enjoyment is present both in the living entity and in the Supreme Lord. The difference is that the quantity of enjoyment is not equal. The living entity cannot experience the same quantity of enjoyment as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. An analogy may be made with a rich man and a poor man. The propensity for enjoyment is present in both, but the poor man cannot enjoy in the same quantity as the rich man. When the poor man dovetails his desires with those of the rich man, however, and when there is cooperation between the poor man and the rich man, or between the big and the small man, then the enjoyment is shared equally. That is like bhakti yoga. Purusha pumsa brajet. When the living entity enters into the kingdom of God and cooperates with the Supreme Lord by giving him enjoyment, he enjoys the same facility or the same amount of pleasure as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this is what Krishna wants from us. This is our birthright, so to speak. It is our birthright. We are created for this purpose, that although we are not God, we can enjoy even more than him. Equal, even more. Experience more pleasure than even he does. This is what Krishna wants. He wants to bring us to his table, so to speak. But instead we are obstinate. We want to eat alone. What we can gather by ourselves, and our capacity is very small. And therefore everyone feels the great lack in their heart. On the other hand, when the living entity wants to enjoy by imitating the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his desire is called Maya, and it puts him in the material atmosphere. A living entity who wants to enjoy on his personal account and not cooperate with the Supreme Lord is engaged in materialistic life. As soon as he dovetails his enjoyment with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is engaged in spiritual life. An example may be cited here. The different limbs of the body cannot enjoy life independently. They must cooperate with the whole body and supply food to the stomach. In so doing, all the different parts of the body enjoy equally in cooperation with the whole body. And, of course, they receive the nourishment that they need. That is the philosophy of Achintya Bheda Bheda, simultaneously oneness and difference. The living entity cannot enjoy life in opposition to the Supreme Lord. He has to dovetail his activities with the Lord by practicing bhakti yoga. Text 36. This Purusha, who the living entity must, the individual soul must approach, is the eternal form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is whom the topmost living entity approaches. Who is known as Brahman and Paramatma. He is the transcendental chief personality, and his activities are all spiritual. So the goal of Sankhya, which Kapila Muni has explained, and Bhakti is to approach, love, and serve the Supreme Lord. Both the same. Now, in the beginning, so that's really the conclusion. Who is the topmost and what does he do? He's a pure servant of the Lord. So in the beginning of this chapter, as we heard, Devahuti had asked about three things. She asked about bhakti. Please describe bhakti. You have described Sankhya, now describe bhakti. Please also describe the time factor. What is this unstoppable force of time? And then also, please describe what are fruit of activities. So in the next chapters, so he's concluded saying what bhakti is. And now he will describe time. And then in the next chapters, he'll describe fruit of activities and what their results are. And remember, Devahuti said, I want you to talk about these things, time and fruit of activities, so that we all become somewhat frightened and we see them as they are, so that detachment develops within us. Because when we read the advertisements about fruit of activities, you know, enjoy this, enjoy that, work and get this, go here, buy that, we think, yes, I can enjoy, and if I have that, I'll be happy. But these descriptions, this is the warning that's printed on the package over here, these descriptions are not at all meant to allow us to think that we will be able to enjoy in the material world. Rather, they are meant just the opposite, to create detachment and cut our spirit of enjoyment. Cut it, break it, smash it. So everyone fasten your seatbelts, especially in the next few chapters. So now he begins to describe what time is. The time factor which causes the transformation of the various material manifestations. Now that sounds very innocent, doesn't it? The transformation of the various material manifestations. But another way, the changing of the material manifestations. And that means ultimately the destruction of everything in the material world. The changing means, although that it's conserved in some sense, but everything is changed, and we naturally are looking for a very tangible, concrete reality for our security. We want tangible, concrete things that are always there so we know how everything is. And yet the very nature of time is that it changes everything in the material manifestation, and therefore everyone ultimately will be, if they open their eyes and watch time's actions, everyone will feel very insecure. So the time factor which causes the transformation of the various material manifestations is another feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because it's a feature of the Lord, it is unstoppable. Time is unstoppable. It will do His work. So therefore Krishna says, Kalosmin lokachaya krit. I'm time and I've come to destroy everyone. So it's another feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Anyone who does not know what time, that time is the same Supreme Personality, is afraid of the time factor. So that we won't talk about much right now, but if we see that time is Krishna, and we are devotees of Krishna, true devotees of Krishna, then nothing will give us fear in this world. But if we're attached to material things separate from Krishna, as they transform and change, terror will be struck in our heart. And we will, it's horrible, we will cause our grief by that attachment to material things and not seeing that time is the energy of Krishna. Unstoppable time. Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the enjoyer of all sacrifices, is the time factor and the master of all masters. He is in everyone's heart. He is the support of everyone, and He causes every being to be annihilated by another. No one is dear to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, nor is anyone His enemy or friend. This is speaking about the Supersoul manifestation. But he gives inspiration to those who have not forgotten him and destroys those who have. So very, very, very heavy. He inspires, helps those who are devoted to him, and he destroys those who are not. It's heavy. Out of fear of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the wind blows. Out of fear of him, the sun shines. Out of fear of him, the rain pours forth showers. Out of fear of him, the host of heavenly bodies shed their luster. Out of fear of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the trees, this is like the Old Testament of the Bible, the creepers, herbs, and seasonal plants and flowers blossom and fructify, each in its own season. Out of fear of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the rivers flow. So if anyone is in school and they ask you, why do the rivers flow? You tell them, out of fear of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And why doesn't the ocean overflow? Out of fear of the Lord. Out of fear of him only does the fire burn, and does the earth with its mountains not sink in the water of the universe. Subject to the control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the sky allows outer space to accommodate all the various planets, which hold innumerable living entities. The total universal body expands with its separate coverings under his supreme control. So he's the everything is going on by his power. Out of fear of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the directing demigods in charge of the modes of material nature carry out the functions of creation, maintenance, and destruction. Everything has a beginning and no end. It is the representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the maker of the criminal world. It brings about the end of the phenomenal world. It carries on the work of creation by bringing one individual into existence from another. And likewise, it dissolves the universe by destroying even the Lord of Death, Yamaraj. Here is Srila Prabhupada's purport. By the influence of eternal time, which is a representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Father begets a Son and the Father dies by the influence of cruel death. But by time's influence, even the Lord of cruel death is killed. In other words, all the demigods within the material world are temporary, like ourselves. Our lives last for 100 years at the most. And similarly, although their lives may last for millions and billions of years, the demigods are not eternal. No one can live within this material world eternally. The phenomenal world is created, maintained, and destroyed by the finger signal of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There are other verses that mention just by like the lifting of his eyebrow. The whole world is created and destroyed just basically by his will. It is insignificant. Therefore, a devotee does not desire anything in the material world. A devotee desires only to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This servitude exists eternally, eternally. The Lord exists eternally, his servitors exist eternally, and the service exists eternally. So we should leave this this temporary material world and go to that eternal realm, Goloka Vrindavan, and there serve Krishna with great devotion, with great love, eternally. That is what we are meant to do. So this is the pushing. And the next, if you haven't been pushed enough, just wait. Oh. Just talking about what people's lives are like and what the results are like. Very stark. Thank you very much. Any questions or comments? Sahasra's already gone, so we won't have any questions. Okay. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Kapila Muni ki jai, Devahuti Maharani ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Nitai Gopinath.